We ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our text this morning is the verse number 28 of Hebrews chapter number 12. Let me read that verse with you again. It says, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Some years ago, I heard an aged Christian lady giving her testimony. She was actually a principal of a school. She was retiring. It was a school that I used to minister the Word of God in Donegal. She was a principal there for many years, and there was an event arranged for her retirement to mark our many years of service there as a principal. But she was a Christian woman, a godly woman. And she was a tremendous influence for God in that school, to the children, to the parents, and to the whole community where that school was. And on that occasion, to mark her retirement, she got up to speak. It was an assembly hall filled with people from all different ranks and file of life. And she gave a personal word of testimony. She never missed an opportunity to speak for her Lord and to speak for her Savior. But in that testimony, she said there are only three views of every person's life and reality. And she said there is a person's view of themselves, there is the view of others of that person's life, and then there is God's view of that person's life. And she went on to say the view or the opinion that really matters is the view of God upon that person's life. And dear people, such a testimony is true, because the thing that really matters in life is what does God think of us? How does God view us? Are we living to please the Lord? Are we living to receive the Lord's commendation? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. My, are we living so that our labor, our testimony is accepted before the Lord? Are we living as God's people to lay up treasures on heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor where thieves break through or steal? People, this morning, let me say this, the starting place for anyone to find acceptance with God is the place of repentance from sin, and the place of saving faith in the person and in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. You see, the Bible says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." And friends, this morning in our meeting, right at the very outset, let me say this to each and every one in the gathering. The place where you must start, if you are to be accepted with God and to be reconciled with God, is the place of repentance from sin. It's the place of saving faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. You see, the Bible speaks of Jesus Christ and says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." In a sacrifice on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ did all that was needed. He provided all that was necessary for you and I to be saved from our sins. And if we are to know that salvation, friend, you must repent of your sins before God. The Bible says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." What is repentance? It's an acknowledgement of your need as a sinner before God. It is a turning away from sin and a turning to God. My friend, you must trust in Christ alone for your salvation. You must put your faith, your trust in the sacrifice of Christ, in the blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary, to wash away your sins, to save your soul, and to fit you for heaven. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." The Bible says, "God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself." Man, woman, young person, boy or girl, this is the starting place for acceptance with God. Tell me today, are you trusting in Christ for salvation? Can you tell of a time in your own experience when you came as a repentant sinner before the Lord and put your faith and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation? But friends, once you are saved, that's just the beginning. My, you are to go on in your Christian life. You are to go on living for the Lord. No longer are you to live for self or for the world, but rather you are to live for Christ. Yes, the aim, the goal of your life is to be acceptable Christian service for God. You remember the counsel of Paul the Apostle to the believers in the city of Rome. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is God's plan, dear Christian. This is God's intention for your life and my life, this side of eternity. And my, it is in light of this aim of acceptable Christian service that I want you to consider our text this morning here in Hebrews chapter number 12 and the verse number 28. It says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And in this chapter here, the Lord's people are exhorted to follow Christ. They're exhorted to follow the example of Christ by being patient and steadfast in the things of God. They are exhorted not to despise God's chastisements in their life. They are exhorted to live in peace with others. They are reminded of the great privileges and blessings of the gospel and God's so great salvation. Here at the very end of the chapter, my, they are exhorted and encouraged to render to the Lord acceptable Christian service. And it is this matter of acceptable Christian service that I want us to look at as a congregation this morning. First of all, I want you to see here that acceptable Christian service means the believer serving the Lord with gratitude. You look at how verse 28 begins. Look at the words there. It says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom. And there you see that the Lord's people, if you follow on from that, are exhorted to serve the Lord with gratitude. Why? Because they have, as it says there at the beginning of the verse, received a kingdom. They have been given a kingdom. What is this kingdom? This kingdom is not of this world. This kingdom is the kingdom of God. Believer, the same applies to you and I. My, we should serve the Lord acceptably, yes, with gratitude. Why? Because through God's saving grace in Christ in our lives, we have been brought out of the devil's kingdom, brought out of the kingdom of darkness, and we have been brought into the kingdom of God, as the Bible says, into the kingdom of God's marvelous light. Dear Christian, please remember today that Christ, the sinless Son of God, he died on the cross for your sins. And by that sacrifice, he made a way for you and I to be brought unto God. The Bible speaks of Christ and his sacrifice. And it says, for Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And by the quickening power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, God, he convicted you and I of our sins. The Bible says, you have he quickened who were dead and trespasses and sins. And in convicting us by his Holy Spirit of our sins, he made us see and feel our need of Christ as Savior. And by his power, he gave us grace, what for? To repent of our sins and to embrace Christ and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be our own and personal Savior. And that is all due to the quickening, regenerating power of God the Holy Spirit in each of our lives as God's people. And child of God, the moment you trusted Christ to be your Savior, to save you from your sin, You are brought out of God's of the kingdom of darkness, the devil's crowd, and you are brought into God's kingdom. You are brought into the family, the fold of God. Turn in your Bible back to John's Gospel, chapter 1. Look with me, please, there at the verse number 12. And there you see how John makes it very clear, very plain. The moment a person trusts Christ to be their Savior, they're brought out of darkness, brought into God's everlasting kingdom. He says, but as many as received him, that's the Lord Jesus, received him by faith to be their Savior, to them give he power, if you like, the right, the authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. O child of God, that time in your experience, when you came as a repentant sinner to Christ, whenever that was, wherever that was in your life's experience, you became a child of God. You were brought into God's family. You were brought into God's kingdom. You were brought out of the kingdom of darkness. And what does that mean for our lives as Christians, as members of God's kingdom? It means with the privilege of God's pardon of our sins through the blood of Christ. The Bible speaks of Jesus Christ and says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That means of the wonderful privilege of peace with God. The Bible says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the wonderful privilege of the Lord's presence in our lives. The Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We have the wonderful privilege of the Lord's power to live the Christian life. The Bible says, with this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have the wonderful privilege of the Lord's protection. Think of what you read in Psalm 121. The Lord shall preserve thee in thy going out and in thy coming in. And we have the wonderful privilege of God's provision in our lives. The Bible tells us how the Lord will withhold no good thing from them that walk uprightly. And we have a wonderful privilege of a place in God's heaven. It says in Titus 3 verse 7 that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is what you have, child of God, just something of what you have as a member of the family and the fold of God, all bestowed upon us by the abundance of God's grace to us in salvation. Place in heaven, it means deliverance from God's fiery wrath and hell. You look at how the apostle describes God in the verse 29, following on from our text, for our God is a consuming fire. That reminds us of the judgment of God upon the ungodly, the unsaved, and hell. And child of God, that's where you and I were bound for. But for the grace of God in salvation, bringing us into the family and fold of God, how thankful we should be. How full of gratitude our hearts should be. You look at how the apostle here describes God's kingdom in verse number 28. He says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom, notice the next words, which cannot be moved. In other words, God's kingdom is eternal. It is everlasting. Before that, in verse 27, the beginning of verse 27, the writer speaks of things there that are shaken, things that can be removed. And then he goes on to speak of those things which cannot be shaken. And the kingdom of God is one of those things that cannot be shaken. It is an eternal kingdom. The kingdoms of men and kings and queens and presidents and prime ministers will come and they will go. But the kingdom of God, it abides forever and ever and ever. Oh, child of God, believer in the meeting, this is your portion today. This is your privilege through knowing Christ as your Redeemer and been brought into God's kingdom. It's a kingdom that cannot be moved, that will abide for all the countless years of eternity to come. Oh, in light of such blessings, let us then serve the Lord as his people, acceptably with gratitude, with praise, with thanksgiving in our hearts. The psalmist David asks the question, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Oh, in light of the great benefit of blessing and being brought into God's family here on earth, dear Christian, acceptable Christian service, it means you and I serving the Lord with praise, with gratitude, with thankfulness in our hearts to all that the Lord has done for us in grace and mercy and in salvation. Think about it today, dear child of God. If it wasn't for God intervening in your life, if it wasn't for God saving your soul and saving you by his grace, where would you be this morning? You could well be in a lost eternity, in the lake of fire already. If it wasn't for the goodness, the grace, the mercy of God. What a motive to serve God. To serve God acceptably, with gratitude in our hearts. Yes, acceptable Christian service means the believer serving the Lord with gratitude. But notice secondly here that acceptable service means the believer serving the Lord with reverence. Look at what our verse goes on to say. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence. Notice that little phrase there, with reverence. It means humility. Or if you like, shamefacedness. And such is the humility of the angels in heaven. The Bible tells us that they serve the Lord with their faces veiled. Or their faces covered. And you know that is the spirit with which every believer is to serve the Lord. The Bible says God is to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. The psalmist speaking of the Lord and his people and his people's service to the Lord says in Psalm 4 that God's people are to stand in awe. They're to stand in reverence to the Lord. Child of God, you and I must remember that the Lord that we serve is the one who is the Lord God Almighty. He is the one who inhabiteth eternity. The Lord whom we serve, whom we worship, is the great I Am. He holds our breath, the very breath that you and I have in our bodies. He holds it in his very hand. You think of the words of Paul in Mars Hill to the people who were gathered there speaking of the Lord. He said, in him we move and have our being. And my, he is the one who is sovereign over all. He is the sovereign of the universe. The Bible says the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And we must remember that the Lord is everything. And that we of ourselves are nothing. We must remember that he is our Alpha and our Omega. We must remember that all of us, each one of us who are saved, are debtors to the grace, to the goodness, to the mercy of God. Therefore, if we are to serve him acceptably, we must do so with reverence, with humility of heart. And what does that mean in our lives? It means, dear people, a heart, a will, a mind that is yielded to the Lord, that is submissive to the Lord of glory. The Bible says, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. There's to be a yielding up to God in our lives, in our wills, in our hearts, in our minds, to the will of God for our lives. Turning your Bible back to the Old Testament prophecy of Micah, Micah chapter number 6, and look with me there, please, at the verse number 8. Look at what you read there in that wonderful verse. It says in verse 8 of Micah chapter 6, one of the Old Testament minor prophets, he have showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's how you and I are to serve the Lord on earth as Christians. As it says there, we are to walk humbly with our God. And that means a heart, a will, a mind that is yielded to the Lord. Not our ways, not our wills, but God's will be done. I was speaking to an aged believer in Christ just the other day, someone that has been saved for many years. have proved the Lord in many difficult times and many difficult experiences of life. And that believer was saying one of the hardest things in the life of the Christian is to yield to the will of God and the ways of God for your life. But dear people, that's what God calls us to do. We are to yield to the Lord, to his will for our lives as Christians. It has been said that God thinks most of those who think least of themselves. And that statement is true. You think of what the Lord himself says in the book of Isaiah 66 and verse 2. He says, "To this man will I look, to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word." The Bible says, "God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble." The Bible says the sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart, a broken and a contrite spirit, O Lord, wilt thou not despise. It was George Whitefield who said, "Let my name be forgotten. Let it be trodden under the foot of all men. If the Lord Jesus Christ be honored, if the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified." That was the burden of the man. Believer in Christ, in all our service for God, let us not be overcome with pride, thinking that we are something, we are nothing. Oh, let us remember, as the psalmist says, that we're poor and needy. Let us serve the Lord, as it says here in our text this morning, with reverence, with humility of heart, humility of life. We're to serve the Lord with gratitude for all that he's done for us. We are to serve the Lord with reverence, with humility of heart, humility of spirit, yielding, bending to the will of God for our lives. But notice something else from our text here this morning. Thirdly, acceptable service. It means the believer serving the Lord with fear. Look at the final two words of our text. Notice what the Bible says. It says, "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Notice that phrase. We're to serve the Lord with godly fear. Yes, the Bible makes it clear that every believer is to serve the Lord cheerfully. They are to serve the Lord gladly. But at the same time, the believer must remember that the Lord is holy, that the Lord is one who is without sin. You remember the words of Habakkuk the prophet as he speaks to God? He says, "Thou art of pure eyes unto behold evil, and canst not look upon iniquity." And we must always remember that as the people of God, that the God we serve, the God we worship, is holy. He is infinitely, eternally holy. And my sin cannot be in the presence of God. That is why there is no sin in heaven. And what does it mean for you and I as Christians in all our service for God as believers? We must fear sin as the people of God. We must fear sinful thoughts and attitudes and words and deeds that would offend the Lord and would grieve the Lord, our Savior. In other words, we must serve the Lord with holiness of heart and holiness of life as the people of God. You remember what it says in the book of Isaiah? It says, "Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord." Again in the book of Peter, and the Lord there speaking to his own people, he says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That is God's will, God's command to his people, to his church. That is how Nehemiah served the Lord here on earth as God's servant, as a child of God. You read of one occasion in the life of Nehemiah when he was tempted to take things wrongfully that did not belong to him, to take things wrongfully from others. And this is what he said in face of that temptation: "So did not I, because of the fear of the Lord." The fear of God had a restraining influence upon his life as a believer, as a Christian. Again, the psalmist, he knew the value of a holy life and holy service to God. For remember what he said in Psalm 66, verse 18. He says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." He knew that sin would hinder the blessing of God in his life. in the place of prayer. And he was speaking there as a Christian, as a child of God. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He knew that sin would hinder his prayer life and seeking God. You think of Paul the Apostle, how he lived on this earth. He was not a perfect man, by no means. But here on earth, he strove to live a holy life before the world and before others. You remember him before Festus, when he was on trial for his faith. He said these words, "I do exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." That was the burden of his heart, to try to avoid anything that would offend the Lord, his Savior. Try to avoid anything that would offend and grieve others. You remember what the hymn writer says, "We cannot be channels of blessing if we consciously trifle with sin. We will barriers be and a hindrance to those we are trying to win." O believer, child of God, acceptable service means you and I, as it says here in our text, serving the Lord with godly fear. This means a holy life. This means avoiding that which is sinful and wrong, anything that is contrary to God, anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are to turn away from as Christians, as God's saved, redeemed people. Turning your Bible over to Ephesians chapter number 4, and you'll see how this is worked out in our lives in a practical fashion. Here Paul is writing to the church of Christ, to God's people. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 22. To those who had trusted the Lord, he was encouraging them. He had a pastor's heart that they would live a holy, godly testimony in the city of Ephesus. Look at what he says in verse 22 of Ephesians 4. "That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." In other words, they were to turn away from their old sinful life. Look at how he goes on to develop this in verse 25. Remember, he is speaking to Christians. "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one with another." They were to be careful of their words. They were to speak the truth. Look at verse number 26. "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." They were to be careful about anger, because the Bible says that anger resteth in the bosom of fools. They were not to let anger take over their lives and dictate how they should live. You'll notice something else there. They were to turn away from all that was bitter. Look at verse 31. He says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." These things they were to be put away from their midst. Dear people, that caution there against bitterness is very, very important. Over the years in the work of God and the cause of Christ, I've seen Christians, good people, godly people, praying people destroyed because of bitterness of heart, bitterness of soul over something that has happened in their life. Ones who used to serve the Lord and go on well with God, the root of bitterness eats away like a cancer in their heart and in their mind. And it destroys their life, their testimony, their service for God. Let us not think, dear people, that we are immune from that. Notice else what he goes on to say there in verse 30. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." We're to avoid these things that he's been mentioning, things that grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Turn over to chapter number 5 and verse number 3. He says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become of saints." They were to live moral lives, upright lives, pure lives, unspotted from the world. They were not to take their standards from the immorality of this world. They were to live a godly life, a holy life. And look at the example they were to follow. Look at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5. He says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." They were to follow God, who is holy, "and walk in love as Christ also have loved us and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour, something that is pleasing to God. We are to live holy lives. We're not to follow the ungodly or the world. As it says there as Christians, you and I are to follow the Lord. We're to follow God. But notice one final thought from our text this morning. In Hebrews chapter number 12 and the verse number 28. Notice finally here that acceptable service, it means the believer depending upon the Lord's grace. Look there at the middle of verse number 28. He says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That word grace speaks of the Lord's strength, the Lord's help, the Lord's power. And what is the apostle getting at here as he writes? Believer, you and I, we cannot serve the Lord in our own strength. We cannot serve the Lord in any invention of the world or our worldly wisdom. The Bible says, vain is the help of man. The Lord says, without me you can do nothing. The hymn writer says, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. We must not rely on self or man or the world. What is he getting at here? He's telling us, however, in Christ, believer, you and I can find grace sufficient for our every need and for our every service for God. The Lord says, my grace is sufficient for thee. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means there's a well of grace in Christ that never ends, never runs dry. John says, enough is fullness of all we received, grace for grace. He gives grace upon grace upon grace, such as the goodness and the mercy of God. He gives added grace. Oh, believer in Christ, this morning let me say this. You will find grace in Christ, as it says in our text, to serve God acceptably, to serve God with reverence, and to serve God with godly fear. He has grace, yes, to make us meek as his people. He has grace to make us humble as his people. He has grace to make us tender and compassionate and pure as his people. He has grace to help us to be zealous for God's service and God's truth. He has got grace to help us each one to delight in the service of God, to delight in the will of God for our lives. You remember the words of Charles Wesley speaking of the Lord. He said, plenteous grace with thee is found, grace to cover all my sin. Child of God, there's grace for you in Christ today to live a godly life, to live with godly fear and reverence, and to serve the Lord with gratitude. How do we receive that grace? Where do we get it? Child of God, you do so by humble, believing prayer. Turning your Bible back to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, just back a few chapters from our Bible reading this morning. Verses 14 to 16. Look at the final verses of that chapter. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without Christ. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain grace and find help in our time of need. And child of God, learn this lesson today. It's by prayer, by humble, believing prayer, that you will obtain all the grace you need as a Christian to live for God and to serve God in your day and generation. He will give all the grace that you need through prayer to enable you as a Christian to serve him and to live for his honor and for his glory. And dear Christian, that is why it is so important that you give time daily to prayer and to seeking God. Also, dear Christian, that is why it is so important you should come to the church prayer meetings and seek God with God's people for grace and help and strength to live the Christian life. That is why God says to his people that men ought always to pray. Not the faint. And if you and I, if we forsake prayer in our lives, if we forsake the public place of prayer, what are we doing? turning our backs upon the Lord and upon the grace that He has for us to live the Christian life and to serve the Lord. I remember a young man being asked to give a testimony in one of his churches. I think it was back in the year 2002, some years ago now. Just a young man then in his early 20s. And he got up very brash and very bold and very forward to give his testimony in that meeting. You know, in a few moments he had to sit down. He was embarrassed. He'd run out of words. He became red in the face and whatever. You know how it is. And he sat down. But you know, in that exact same church, some 3 years later, 2005, he was asked to give his testimony again. Just 3 years later. And he got up and he gave his testimony and he apologized for what had happened in the past. And he said in the course of his testimony, the reason why what happened was this: I got up to testify in my own strength. I never prayed about it. I never sought the Lord. I thought I could do it in my own strength. And I was quickly to learn that I could do nothing in my own strength without the Lord. He learned that lesson. That without the Lord he can do nothing. He learned it well. That young man is now an elder in one of our churches. A godly young man. Going on with God just in his mid-30s. Growing in grace and a great asset. And a great blessing to that congregation to which he belongs. And which he serves the Lord. But he learned the importance of prayer young in life. Of praying. Seeking God. Depending upon the Lord's help for his life. Child of God, the Bible says God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye may abound in every good work. Oh, daily let us come to the throne of grace and prayer. Let us make it our business to be at the church prayer meetings. Why? That we may have grace to serve God with gratitude, to serve God acceptably with reverence, and with godly fear. Let us close.